Turn with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. This evening I'd like to look at the conclusion of this fifth chapter, the 16th verse. I've entitled this message, "The Bride's Lovely Friend." In the beginning of this fifth chapter, we begin to consider the bride's speaking concerning her beloved. In the ninth verse, she was asked a question by those who are referred to as the daughters of Jerusalem. I believe the daughters of Jerusalem are professors within the body of knowing Him, but don't evidence the possession of His loveliness within her spirit, meaning those that are there but not there. Every time that I have found the brides, I've said this before, speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem, it always becomes very evident to me if the bride is speaking to someone else, then they're not the bride. She's saying something to somebody else. But it's those that are there and seem to be in the presence of what the bride speaks to her. So she asked, these daughters of Jerusalem ask, the bride in verse 9, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us?" The daughters of Jerusalem ask the bride, "Who is your beloved to you? Why do you consider him as you do?" We went through all of those descriptions in that fifth chapter there, starting in the 10th verse. And she comes down now to the last part. The last time we looked at Song of Solomon, we looked at that portion of the 16th verse. It says, "His mouth is most sweet." She had described all of his characteristics before. But she comes down to this conclusion, as if to say, after thinking through, trying to set forth, who is he? She said, "Yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." Now the only thing that the bride can say concerning the bridegroom is what the Spirit of God has taught her concerning him. And even in her conversation, as you that believe, you that know him, the only thing that you can say concerning him is what the Spirit of God has revealed to you. And if we're honest about it, we say that which we know is so, but still we say, "Oh, that I could enter into what I just said. He's altogether lovely." When she speaks of him, she speaks of assuredness of him. She said in that line there, "Yea, he's altogether lovely." Here's the first thing that the bride says concerning his loveliness. She said, "Yea, yes, yea. He is altogether lovely." 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea. And in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." They're yea, they're yes. To the bride, her beloved is not one who is maybe, based on possibilities, man's so-called free will, but this is what she says about Him. This is my description of Him. Yea. God Almighty said, "I will have mercy. I will have compassion." You know what that is? Yea. I will. I certainly will. There's absolutely no possibility that He's not going to have compassion and He's not going to have mercy on whomsoever He will. The Lord Jesus Christ said in His high priestly prayer in John 17, "I have glorified Thee on the earth." There's no possibility, Bob, that He hasn't. He said, "I have. I've glorified You." The fullest. There is no possibility that there's anything left undone concerning God Almighty being glorified, the Father being glorified by the Son. "I have glorified You." How much? "I have." Complete. Yea. "I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world." For those that believe, here is the truth. I've manifested God's name. I've manifested Him unto you. Through the preaching of the gospel. 2 Corinthians. Turn with me. They just look at this passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:17 to 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17. "When I therefore was thus minded," Paul said, "did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea." Paul was saying there's no yea and nay with the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning this, there's no contradiction. Not in Him. There's no doubt in His trustworthiness, no loopholes in the gospel of Christ. Not yea and nay, it's yea. It's amen. It's so. Let me tell you what I mean here. The false message of preaching that a man has the ability to exercise his free will, or the false teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ died for everybody and put away all the penalty of sin, and all you have to do is exercise your free will, and then it will become effectual. Well, then, let me ask you this. Does that not come to the conclusion that then your work, or your decision, or your righteousness makes what the Lord said effectual? Then that means that salvation is by works, your work. Well, then that's a contradiction. If the Lord Jesus Christ died for every man's guilt and put away all men's guilt by His blood, Gary, that means that God's unjust because Christ died for it. You see what I'm saying? That message is yea and nay. It is contradictory. It's the gospel is yea. The gospel of Christ is yea. For the believer to have this hope within and to be able with confidence to say, yea, He is altogether lovely. That's a blessed state. No contradictions in the gospel. You look and you go through and you listen. You that listen to that message of Christ, you listen for the consistency of that message of the glory of Almighty God and His blessed Son. And anything you hear, if it contradicts something, there's a red flag that just goes up and says, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. It's yea. It's so. Don't say anything. I don't want to hear anything that contradicts the glory of Almighty God and the person of His Son. Now, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear anything that gives me any kind of goodness bestowed upon me that I know in myself is not, I'm not worthy of that. David said, although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire, although He make it not to grow. Meaning this, although my house be not so with God, although God, there were some in David's family that just the Lord was not pleased to set His affection and mercy upon. David said, although my house be not so with God, although my house, He make it not to grow, He made with me an everlasting covenant. It's all my salvation. It's sure. It's founded. Although, here's the impression of me and my house and myself, yet, He said, here's the unchanging and unalterable love and affection shown me by the covenant God. Yea, that's what the bride says. Yea, then she says, He. Yea, He. He. No name of the bridegroom, such as the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, or Emmanuel, is found in the book of Song of Solomon. Him. He. She said, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Here's the intimate expression of the regenerate heart. A believer talks to another believer and they talk about Him. And you know exactly who you're talking about. Who is it? Him. Him. The bride knows of whom she speaks when she speaks of Him. When she speaks of Him, she speaks of Jehovah. Psalm 35:10 says, all my bones, that is of His mystical body, shall say, Lord. She speaks of Him as Jehovah God. Who is like unto Thee that delivers the poor from him that's too strong for him? Who? Him. He. When the bride speaks of Him, she speaks of Emmanuel. God with us. All those chosen in Christ, redeemed by His blood and regenerated by His Spirit. That's what they say. Who is it? Him. Let Him. Let Him kiss me. Kisses of His mouth. He. Yea, He. Who? God, man. Man that died, God that atoned. One who thirsted, but who also gave living water. That's what He told the woman at the well. If you knew who it was you're talking to, you'd ask of Him. He'd give you living water. He who labored and fell asleep in a ship, but who stood up and spoke to the elements, the waves and the wind, and quieted them, and they obeyed. The disciples said, who is it? What manner of man is this that even the wind obeys Him? He who hung voluntarily on the tree at Calvary, laid down His life, suffering for His own. He who gave Himself. No man takes my life. I give my life. I laid my life down. The one who laid Himself to the hands of those that nailed Him to a tree, hanging on a cross, said to a thief that was beside Him, today wilt thou be with me in paradise. Who is this? He. That's who He is. Him. Him. The prophet. the communicator of the Father's mind, the priest who atones and intercedes and blesses His people, the King who reigns till all His enemies be made His footstool. He, that's who He is. He, my surety, my representative, my substitute, my high priest, that's who He is. I don't know how to speak of Him in words like I should. I wish I did. I say it. I hear my words. I hear He. And still they seem in my own mind concerning myself seem to pale into the worthiness that they should be to me. He is altogether lovely. He is. Yea, He is. Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" When the Lord told him to go into Egypt and you go to Pharaoh, and He said, "You tell him that I am. I am that I am. I am sent you." He is. He's altogether. That word altogether means all gathered. He's all gathered. All gathered holiness, all gathered meekness, all gathered strength, all gathered majesty. He is altogether. She's just brought to a point to where she says, "He's altogether lovely, delightful." That's what it means. He's altogether delightful. There is nothing in His being that is anything other than lovely. Lovely. He's altogether lovely. Think of anything that can cross the mind of the bride about Him. This is what she could say. Yeah, I'm lost for words. He's altogether lovely. How much? Altogether. I know nothing else to say. If I knew what else to say, I'd say it. I'm just saying what the bride said of Him. He's altogether lovely. He's the fine flour mingled with oil, fine flour with oil poured upon it, the meat offering. That is, there's no flaw in Him. No flaw. And I see through a glass darkly. But one day, by the grace of Almighty God, I'll see Him as He is. And I will recognize in that day Him. I'll see Him. He's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, she said. Notice how personable that statement is. I know that He is the mighty God. I know that He's the Prince of Peace. But the bride says, "But He's my beloved. Mine." Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my life and my salvation." Psalm 23:1 says, "My shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. You know, there's a big difference saying that He is the shepherd. He is the shepherd. He's the great shepherd. But to say He's mine and to believe it, that just settles my heart. I just relax. He's my shepherd. Here is the language of the bride throughout all of this book. But how did He become my beloved? She says He is. This is my beloved. This is my beloved. But see, I am in this life, I'm a creature of time. I'm born. I know in the eternal will and purpose of Almighty God concerning Him, He loved His people with an everlasting love. In that covenant relationship of His elect, the triune God before the foundation of the world, everlastingly, never been a time that Almighty God didn't love His sheep. He loved, "I've loved you. I've always loved you. Always. I was born in this world, conceived in sin. Came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. There was a time in my life, and you that know Him in your life too, when He wasn't altogether lovely to you. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal Christ in me, immediately, then, right then. The Spirit of God taught you something concerning Him. And you knew Him. And as time has gone on, and as by the grace of Almighty God, He's allowed you the privilege to be able to come and sit. And some of you have sat here and you've heard for years and years and years, and you've heard Brother Scott preach and set forth Christ. And as you sit there and you listen, and the Spirit of God teaches you and teaches you and teaches you, and the more you hear of Him, you know Him, you grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, and He's beloved to you. He's altogether lovely, but He's my beloved. And the bride says, and this is my friend. He's my friend. You know, that's a precious thing. A friend in this world is a precious thing. Now, I know that for all of God's sheep, there's a relationship between them that is binding in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is wrought by the Spirit of God. I know that. We are in this building tonight. There's some that's not able to be with us that are providentially hindered. I'm thinking about those, you know, your mom and dad's out of town. And, you know, and Carl and Carl and Abloo and Daryl and Joyce and Brother Scott and Martha and different ones are just not able to be here. And we talk about these, and they're so. They're our friends. Believers. Friends. But I tell you, there's a friend. The Scripture says in Proverbs 17:17, the description of a true friend. A friend. This is a friend. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. That's a friend. He loveth at all times. Now, you know, if I'd be real honest about it, I've had relationships, and you have too, for years and years and years. And let me ask you this, of your closest friend, the one you know, the closest friend, humanly speaking, in this life, has there ever been a time, ever, that was there ever a time when you ever felt in your heart, whether you'd want to admit it to them or not, that you ever deviated from what the Scripture sets forth as love? Love. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't even give you a clear description of what it truly means to love. I can sit down and tell you this, a friend loveth at all times. The Lord Jesus Christ says this. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life, he will give himself up for his friends. And he said, you're my friends. As our surety, as assuming the bride's nature and suffering for her, paying her debt, purchasing her by His blood, He said, you're my friends. I'm your friend. Proverbs 18:24 says this. Now, you may want to check me out on this. That's okay. I encourage you to do so. 18:24 says this. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, if you'd ask me exactly what does that mean, my question would be, well, what part of that did you not understand? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You think, well, that's just about as obvious as it can be. But that's not exactly what it means. This is what it means. A literal translation means a man of acquaintances. Just acquaintances. May be broken up. But there's a lover that sticks closer than a brother. That is to say, everybody in this life will disappoint you, but only Christ will never. When I first read that, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, I thought, well, if you're going to have friends, then be friendly. And that's good advice. I'd take that if it was me. I'd take that advice, but that's not what it means. It means that a man in this life that you call your friend will disappoint you because he can't love you at all times. A friend, the Scripture says, loveth at all times, never deviates, always for your good, always for your good, never. Only Christ is the friend of sinners. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean to, but I promise you, give it some time. If I haven't done it already, I will. I'm sure I'll disappoint you. And you'll think, I just didn't think Marvin would do that. I didn't think he'd... I didn't mean to. But I'm telling you, only Christ is a friend. And His friendship is manifest in the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. A friend. No greater love hath any man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. And he said, you're my friends. The Scripture says, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Oh, you daughters of Jerusalem. Only a friend knows the wanderings of my heart, Neil. Only a friend. A friend. Only a friend. One that knows. Only a true friend that loves at all times. Knows the corruption of my old nature and the deceitfulness of my flesh, and loves me with an everlasting love and never deviates. Never. Only a friend loveth. This is my beloved, and this my friend. Oh, you daughters of Jerusalem. Who is he? That's who he is. He's altogether lovely. And he's my beloved. And he's my friend. Dear God.